spies, the 12 spies, one from each tribe, have been sent out to view the promised land. They've come to the edge of the promised land, and they've just sent some spies out, go and have a look, let's do a recce, let's see what the situation's like, come back and report, and let us know what's there. So the spies went out, and the 12 spies came back after a 40-day expedition, and they came back and brought back some of the fruit from the land. It took two men to carry a bunch of grapes. That's how much fruit was in the land. It was a very fruitful place. There was all sorts of other fruit. And then we came back here in verse 26, and this is the report they bring, as well as bringing the fruit back. This is the report the spies came back with. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to the whole assembly and showed the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak, that's giants. We even saw descendants of giants there. The Amalekites live in Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb, who was one of the spies, silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than us." And they spread the rumor among the Israelites, a bad report about the land that they'd explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the descendants of Anak. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them." Basically, two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, gave a good report. They said, "Look, let's go and take this land." Caleb was the one who stood up and said, "Yeah, we can take it." The other 10 spies gave a negative report about the giants and how bad things were. After 45 years, we take the story on into Joshua chapter 14, and we pick up the story again 45 years later. Because of the report of those 10 spies, the bad report, basically, the children of Israel spent another 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't go into the land. They listened to those 10 spies and said, "No, the giants are too big. We don't want to go." God got angry and said, "Right, because of that, you're not going in." And none of that generation, apart from Caleb and Joshua, will go and see the land. And so they didn't. So they spent 40 years going round in the wilderness. And then, as I say, we pick up the story again in Joshua chapter 14. You can read the story at your leisure and read it in a bit more detail if you want, but I'm just picking up the story here. And it says this in verse 6 of Joshua 14. "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgad, and Caleb, the son of Jephthuni, the Kenzanite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me that the land on which your feet have walked will be the land on which your feet, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. The land had rest from war. I missed a few words out there, but they're a bit complicated to say, so I missed them out. In the Authorized Version, in verse 12, it doesn't say, give me this hill country. I don't know if you've got the slide on there, Mark. It says, give me this mountain. If you go a bit of a research on Google and look at Hebron, it's a bit hilly, it's a bit mountainous, but there are mountains there. And this actually is Mount Hebron. Give me this mountain. That's the theme of today. Give me this mountain. That was Caleb's heart cry. After 40 years in the wilderness, now another few years had gone. It was 45 years, actually. So that made him 85. He still had that fervor in his heart. And his cry was, give me this mountain. Yes, it's full of giants, he said in verse 12. But with the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. I really think it's important for us today as OCF. And that's the reason why I think this word's important. A number of weeks ago, I was reading in Word for Today, and this phrase, give me this mountain, just shot out and hit me. And it's been on my heart ever since. And I believe for OCF that we are in a new season. We're in a season of change, and we're in a season, really, of shaking too. And that's not a negative thing, shaking. Yeah, we've had the earthquake down in Kent, haven't we? And people were a bit anxious about it. Evidently, I don't know how many million times less it was than the earthquake that struck out in Nepal, but it was millions of times less, but it still got people shaking and anxious. So in OCF, we've had those issues. Mike's here today, and it's great to see Mike. But as you know, Mike and Adrienne are having a sabbatical. They've got issues around their lives because of Mike's job and Adrienne's losing a mum and Mike's dad being ill. Lots of things. And so that could cause you to shake a little bit. As you know, I've had health issues as well, and it could rock a little bit. And you think, what's going on here? We've also got big issues here with Edge Hill. Don't know if you realise that, but you're probably gathering that 1 week we're here, 1 week we're over there. We don't know where we are next. And it's difficult. Next week will be the last week we'll have any storage on campus. We'll have no storage on campus from next week. They've said we can't have any storage. We've been right to the very top, and basically the same answer's come back. No, there's no storage on campus for OCF, even though we've been here for 9.5 years. We don't feel comfortable about that. It seems as though, what's happening here? What's going to happen to us? Where are we going to go? It can seem a difficulty, but you know, I honestly do believe that these are days of opportunity. These are days of challenge, yes, but together by faith, we can do and see amazing things in him. You see, that's what Caleb thought, yeah? He saw that right at the beginning. Yeah, he saw the obstacles. He saw the problems. He saw the difficulties. He saw the giants, but he said, hang on a minute, we can do this. God is with us. But unfortunately, he was shouted down. And then all these years later, he was here again. He said, look, I know the giants are still there. There's probably more giants because 45 years later, they probably bred and there's more of them. But he said, I don't care. With God's help, we can take this land. We can do it. We can get our way through this. We had a verse given to us in OCF. I don't know how many years ago it was now, but it's a long time ago, probably 20 years ago. And it was Joshua 3, verse 5. It's in that same passage. It says this. It says, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I'm not saying that verse hasn't been fulfilled. It has in so many different ways, in so many different lives. We could give you so many different stories. But it's an ongoing word. It's a word for us today. It's still relevant. At the prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, Andrew led the prayer meeting, and he brought out that verse again. And he challenged us again. And he reminded us again of where its context fitted in, that the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan. And Joshua was saying, look, consecrate yourselves. Look, you know, this isn't an easy ride. Consecrate yourselves. God's got to be first and foremost. For tomorrow, I'm going to do amazing things among you. And in the boiler room, it was great there. We just wiped off those verses off the slate. Because we said, look, it's time for a new word. It's time for something fresh. The slate has been cleaned. And if you were here last week, you'll see that Tabo gave us that prophecy. It was a visible prophecy where we laid out the flags in front of the church, and it was walking across the Jordan. We walked across, as it was, the Jordan into the promised land. We left behind those things that were holding us back. We put the past behind us, and we said, no, in God, we're going to step forward into those new things. And that's what the children of Israel were doing as they stepped across that Jordan into those new things. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says this. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. It's good to look back and see what God has done and record what God has done. But you know, we need to not hanker after those things. There's illustrations in the Bible where people were hankering after those things. The great illustration of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Move on to a new thing. But it was there. The hankering was there. Just one last glance. One last glance. I've got to look back. And you know what happened? The pillar of salt. Guys, we can be like that. We can dwell in the past. We can look at the past. And the past might have been great. But this is the day of new things. Tomorrow I will do amazing things amongst you. See, I am doing new things. Do you not see it? Springs in the desert. So it's opportunity, challenge, and faith. OCF, opportunity for us, yeah? A challenge for us, yes. But by faith, we can do it. Opportunity for a new place. We could stay here, and we could bring the stuff every week. I don't know what we should do. At the moment, we feel we shouldn't do that. At the moment, we should just bring stuff we can carry. But as you know, we've got quite a few trolleys and stuff to set up equipment. So we're going to have to be acoustic for a few weeks or months. We don't know. Whether that's a long-term solution, I don't know. If it isn't, and we stay here permanently, then we'll have to buy a van or we'll have to buy a trailer with a tail lift and bring all the stuff. But we don't want to go to that expense if it's unnecessary. So at the moment, for these next few weeks, I don't know how long or months it may be, we're going to just be acoustic. We'll get as much as we can here, but it's going to be just a little bit different. Basically, parents, we're not going to have any chairs here, or we're not going to have any kids' toys here. So if you're a parent, you're going to have to bring your own toys. If you want it for creche, you're going to have to bring your own creche toys, because we're not going to have the physical capability of bringing it all here. So that's just one way. What those possibilities look like, we don't know. As you know, we've got the boiler room in Ormskirk. The lease of that expires in September. What do we do with that? Do we carry on with it? Do we look for something alternative? As you know, we've got the food bank there. We've got debt advice there. Help Direct have been there, but Help Direct is changing, so they won't be using the facility. It's been a great facility. Some people have said it was a waste of money. I don't accept it was a waste of money. At that time, God put it on our heart for a place in the centre of Ormskirk for prayer to be a centre. And it's still there as a focal point. It's there, it's recognised, it's being used. Whether we continue to use it, I don't know. We'll have to see. But we need to decide, because it's not really fully adequate for what we want. So as things have developed, we need a bigger place. The food bank's expanded rapidly. The debt advice has expanded rapidly. And there's not really enough room for us to meet collectively. It's tight squeeze when we all meet for prayer. But a town centre facility would be fantastic. But we don't know. We have the opportunity of another building. We're looking at a possibility of a building in Moorgate. It needs a lot of work doing to it. We'll ask the people there. They're going to come back with costings for us. It's going to be expensive, but we don't really know what it is. As you know, property in Ormskirk is a colossal price. But opportunity, we've got to look for opportunities. And I don't know what the opportunity looks like. For me, I feel God is saying, look, there's something different. Opportunity. And this whole thing with Edge Hill has come about. We didn't want it to come about, but it's happened. And so it's another one of those things that's sort of shaking where we should be, what should we do, where should we go? They've also increased the price as well. So as we go forward, it's now going to cost us another £2,500 a year to stay here. It's not just a small increase. And every year going forward, it will be a 5% increase. Yeah, that's what they've said. So, you know, it's making it very restrictive for us. It's not exactly welcome. We want you here. So it's difficult. So we need to be aware of that. So it's a challenge for us. It's going to be a challenge for us, guys, if we found our own building, if we moved to our own building or a different building when we rent it again or when we could buy one again, it's a challenge. One, first of all, financially, it's a massive challenge. We haven't got a lot of money, yeah? So it's a big challenge. Where's that going to come from? I don't know. But if God's with us, it'll come, yeah? He is in control. So it's a challenge that we need to face. Obviously, in time, to do things, to help, to get behind things, to decorate and all those sort of things, it's going to be a cost, yeah? It's a challenge for us. It's not just the financial, it's the physical as well that we've got to do and make happen. We're going to see a guy down at Hope Church in Liverpool this week, Brian's friend, and they've had massive grants to their buildings. Maybe there's a possibility for that for us, I don't know, but we're going to explore that as a possibility. We need to look at all those opportunities to see if we can get funding in. But then again, also, it's down to us as well. Where's our finance? What's God doing for us financially? And I know we haven't got any millionaires in the congregation, and I know things are tight, but I know God provides financially. I know that from my own personal experience. He's a God who gives, yeah? As we give, he gives. But that's a challenge coming to us as well financially. So there's the opportunity, the challenge, but it's got to be by faith as well, yeah? It's got to be by faith. So there's a call here to prayer, yeah? Prayer is vital. Prayer is the thing that makes things happen. So we need prayer, we need prayers of faith, and we need prayers in faith. You know, in the past, we've talked about the big ask. Those of us who went to a Bill Hybels conference know about the big ask. Make the big ask. What is the big ask? If you look that up on the internet, you might find some of Bill Hybels' stuff. Make the big ask. I wrote to Bill Hybels and made a big ask. I didn't get the answer I wanted, but I made a big ask. Sometimes we've got to make a big ask. And this is a big ask. Matthew 7 says, ask. Yeah, ask. Seek and knock. Give us this mountain. Give me this mountain. That's been the prayer of my heart. Lord, give me this mountain. Yeah. It looks massive. It looks impossible. Massive giants. I don't see a way through, but Lord, give it me. And that was Caleb's prayer, an 85-year-old man. And you read through later in the chapters how they defeated it and the land was in peace. Tom last week spoke about the past being gone. And today there being hope and expectancy. Why? Because of the promise of tomorrow, the promise for tomorrow. Those stones out of the Jordan, they took stones out of the Jordan and they put them at the side of the river as a memorial. And what was it for? It was a reminder to them of God's faithfulness in the past, but it was mainly for hope for the future. God's faithfulness. God is a faithful God. So I know, as it says in Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with, what? Maybe, possible, if God's up to it. No, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're in a time of need. We need God to break through. We need God to come and show us the way forward. As leaders and elders, we're meeting regularly. Every week we're meeting and we're saying, God, what do you want us to do? We don't just want to do it ourselves. We don't just want to say, well, it's my bright idea. God, what are you saying? Where are you wanting us to be? What do you want us to do? And you've seen that we are trying to put a few things together and change one or two things, put a few things in place. But obviously, as a meeting place, we need God to show us what he wants to do. I don't know if any of you have used Soul Revolution. Remember, Andrew spoke about it a few weeks ago. Has anyone used Soul Revolution? If you haven't, I would urge you to use it. I'd never used it before, but I use it now. And basically, what happens is you put it into your phone on an app, and then you get a reminder every hour or whenever you want it, and it just throws a verse of scripture at you, and maybe it throws a challenge or it throws something for you to pray for. And the other day, I'd put in my Soul Revolution, I'd add it in now, and it comes up every day. And this verse came up, Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. And it says this, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the mule or the horse, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bitten bridle, or they will not come to you. And on that Soul Revolution, you get a different verse and a different challenge every hour. But that verse came up 2 hours on the run. The same thing, 2 hours on the run. It never happened before to me. I thought, that's strange. It's come again. What's happening? I don't know. God's moving. Yeah, it was a challenge to me that it was there, that I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. And it said at the bottom, the challenge was this: you must be willing. Ask. Is there anything you want me to do or understand at this moment? And that was to me, is there anything I need to understand? Is there anything I need to do at this moment? But also, it's a double-edged thing. It's to God. Ask God, is there anything you need to understand? Is there anything you need to do now? Just get the double picture there of what it is. You see, it's together. It's a together thing. It's not me on my own. It's God, us together. It's not any of us on our own. It's together. Guys, we've got to do this together, all together. And with God together, we can do it. As I've already said, it's a big mountain to climb. There's plenty of giants. But with the Lord on our side, all things are possible. We used to sing a song years ago, "All things are possible, only believe." I remember being in the Philharmonic Hall. I must have only been 6, 7, 8. I don't know, with my mum and dad. We used to go, and this crusade went on for about 6 or 7 weeks with a guy called Clifton Erickson. And that was the song, "Only Believe, All Things Are Possible." And I remember at the Philharmonic Hall, you couldn't get near the front because there was crutches, there was wheelchairs, there was braces. It was just packed with people who had been mightily healed, and people were getting saved in the hundreds. It was a fantastic. I remember that song, and it sticks with me. And God hasn't changed. He's the same God today. Caleb's God is my God, yeah? Any character you name is my God, and he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guys, this is for us today. So I need you to pray, but I'm looking for a team of people, really. We need some people who are prepared to get together and look at possibilities for finance, look at possible grants. As I say, I'm going with Brian on Thursday. If anyone wants to come, let me know. We're going at 11 o'clock on Thursday down to see this guy. And there's other opportunities too through other people we've got contact with. But seriously, if you're interested in that, it stirs your heart, then come and see me. So we need a team of people to get together. This isn't just a leaders or elders thing. It's all of us. And those people listening on the podcast, this includes you too. That we need a team who will come together to pray, to look at possibilities and look at finance and see where God is taking us. It's a day of opportunity, of challenge and prayer. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, I just really want anything that's not of you, Lord, to be just forgotten and buried. And if it's all of me, Lord, then that's fine. I just drop it. But Lord, I honestly do believe that you are challenging us today. You're saying to us, Lord, give us the mountain of Ormskirk, whatever it is, Lord. We want this town for your kingdom. We want lives to be changed. We want bodies to be healed. We want situations to be turned around. You are the same God today as you were yesterday. You're not a God of somewhere in a different country. You're the God here in Ormskirk. And Lord Jesus, we want to be in your will. We don't want to be in your way. We want to be in your will so that you can flow through us, Lord. And so, Lord, you know every single thing about us, Lord. You know things about us as a fellowship, Lord. You set us up years ago, Lord. And Lord, we might have made mistakes, but Lord, I thank you that we can walk across the Jordan and clean the slate and move forward in you, because this is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. And Lord, today we want to consecrate ourselves today again to you. Because Lord, we want those amazing things tomorrow, not just the past, not those former things. We want to see you doing a new thing. So Lord, yeah, we place you right at the very center. We place you right at the very center, Lord, of this facility here, Lord. I don't know why they've approached it in this way, but they have. But Lord, you know where you want us to be. And Lord, I thank you for the use that we've had of this place. And if it's to continue, then make that obvious. If it's not, then Lord, open another avenue, Lord. We want to be in the place you want us to be. So we just lift you up, Lord. We glorify your name. This is not our church, Lord. It's your church, Lord, and we're just your people.